Would you stand with me now as we read from God's words, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3, called to preach the gospel. Called to preach the gospel. Verse 3 says, and Paul is, of course, speaking. He's writing there to the church at Corinth. And he says, my defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also other apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same thing also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain. Is it the oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For if necessity is laid upon me, yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice in your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of worship and the privilege that you've given us to be in this worship service today. Thank you for each individual one that you've brought to this service. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll open our hearts, that you'd speak to our hearts, that we would realize your presence in this service, for we know you are indeed here. And, Lord, we pray that you will convict, that you will encourage, that you will guide, that you will fill every spiritual need in this place today, especially those who have never made a life commitment to you and called upon you as their Savior. I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you, that they call upon you as the Lord and the Savior of their life. Thank you, Lord. Now we pray that you'll guide this study, that the words spoke would be your words, not my own, and that you'd receive honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First point of the message, we can't help it. We can't help it. Have you ever told somebody, I just can't help it? I want you to, first of all, consider the Apostle Paul today and the life that he lived. We know the trials of his life and all that he went through in the ministry of the gospel. We know that he was a prisoner on occasion. We know that he was ridiculed on occasion. We know that he was beaten on occasion. We know that he was stoned on one occasion. One might ask, why would he have continued as a minister of the gospel? I mean, you look at his life, what would make one think, I've got to get me some of that, you know? I mean, what would make one think, I want a life that is just marred and abused by other people? That was the life of the Apostle Paul. Well, I've got to answer for why he did what he did. He said, a necessity has been laid upon me. He had an inward conviction, an inward compelling obligation. And when I say obligation, I'm not talking about something that like paying a bill obligation. I'm talking about a drive on the inside a passion that God had placed within his life to preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, Paul said, "Woe is me if I did not preach the gospel." That term, that word woe, is an expression of extreme displeasure or extreme pain. So Paul, at the consideration of not preaching the gospel, it was like a terrifying thought to him. It would have torn his life absolutely apart. It was as much a necessity in Paul's life as eating and drinking and breathing. That's what Paul had to do, because God had placed that in his heart. And I would like to share with you at this point some of the joy of ministry. The joy of being pastor, associate pastor, music minister. Well, one joy is the phone rings at all hours of the night. Yeah. My phone has rung before at 3 a.m. And I would answer it and they'd say, Pastor, I'm sorry, were you asleep? And you know what I said? No. I've been sitting up all night praying and meditating. I don't want them to think I'm asleep at 3 a.m., you know. But your phone rings at all hours of the night. And you've not lived until you've got the 2 a.m. phone call of a marriage that's on the rocks, and they want you to come do marriage counseling at 2 a.m. There was one time in my ministry, about the third time that happened, I went over there and I said, "Will y'all please fight during the day? Because they always manage to do it at night, you know. You've not lived until you've had a drunkard call you at 2 a.m. Brother Doug, I need to talk to somebody." I also told him, "I wish you'd start drinking during the day." But you just never know. I mean, there are things that come up, deaths, emergencies, day and night. You never know when your phone's going to ring. You hear all the problems that everyone has, okay? As a pastor and as a minister, people share their burdens with you. And I don't know, oftentimes I learn way more than I want to know. I probably know a little bit on everybody here today. But it's okay. It's safe with me. I'll not share it. And you always receive constructive criticism. "He preaches too long. He preaches too short. He gives those sermonettes. He didn't speak to me today. He needs to be more friendly. He's too friendly. He doesn't know what's going on in the life of his members. He needs to stay out of the lives of his members and mind his own business." All constructive criticism. People are watching you. They watch you. Have you ever heard somebody say, "You know what that preacher did?" Not only do they watch you, they watch your family. "You know what that preacher's wife did? You know what the preacher's kids did?" I'm telling you, it's a blast. When you answer that call, you never know where that call is going to lead you. Most likely, that call is going to lead you away from your home. And oftentimes, seldom see your family and even your children and your grandchildren. And there are some guys who answer that call that God sends to Africa. Once every 3 years, they see their family, you know, or Romania. I can't imagine. Why would anybody surrender to ministry? And it's not just pastors. Youth ministers are fun too. Why would anybody be a youth minister? Well, I would think that the most attractive thing about youth ministry is you get to take care of everybody else's kids. Don't you find that awesome? Don't you find that just so attractive? And if you fuss and or correct somebody else's kids, oh my goodness, hold the phone. "I can't believe you said that to my kid. I can't believe you tried to correct my kid." Music ministers You got to love them. They're just different. Amen. Where's Dale? There we go. As a music minister, can you imagine? He's told, we need to have choir. 6 people show up for choir practice. We need to have more choir practices. While the choir says, all we do is practice. And the great argument for music ministry is, we sing too many of those old contemporary songs. The modern stuff. I'm so tired of that. Whatever happened to I'll Fly Away? And then as a music minister, you turn and go to the other side and you hear people say, I'm tired of those old songs. All we sing is those old songs. On and on. I mean, the list is, are you ready to join the ministry yet? Just fill out a visitor's card located on the back of your pew and we'll enroll you, right? No, the question comes to mind, and don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, okay? But when you back up and you take a look at the life of ministry, the question comes to mind, why would anyone choose that kind of life? Why would anyone desire to have their life turned upside down like that? Here's the answer. We can't help it. I want you to chew on that just a moment. We can't help it because we must serve. You see, when Paul said necessity is laid upon me, when he said, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel, he was not the last man that God called and put in ministry. Do you realize that call is just as real today, that we can't help it as ministers of the gospels, as music ministries, as associate ministers? We can't help the passion that has been laid upon our hearts to point people toward Jesus Christ and the gospel message. That passion will not die. It will not go away. And I praise God that it will not die and it will not go away. Have you ever watched old preachers? Old preachers, they never lose the passion. They might lose the physical ability to pastor and to keep up, but they never lose that burning and that passion. And it's because of that burning and that passion that when the pastor is called and a member is in need, you answer that call. Or when the youth pastor is called and a young person is in trouble, you go running. Or when there's an opportunity to lift up praises to the Lord and worship, that music minister stands here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Why? Because God has put that passion in their heart and we can't help it. And I want you to understand that. Okay? You might think our church staff is really strange around here. We just can't help it. Okay? God put something in there. And we've got to serve. But you can help. You see, Paul said, I do it free of charge. It wasn't about the money for the Apostle Paul. Not at all. Even though God had placed that desire, that want in his heart that he couldn't get rid of. You know, Paul could not bring himself to demand wages for ministry. Okay? He couldn't do it. Verse 18. Paul says, what then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge. That I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. If somebody would ask the Apostle Paul, what do we owe you? He would say, no charge. No charge. And I would present to you today that any minister worth his salt would do it at no charge. Would minister for absolutely free. That's right. I'd preach here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night for nothing. Don't get any ideas. Okay? Because of that passion which God has put within me. All right? That need to to minister, that need to preach. A pastor was once asked, "What do they pay you for preaching, Pastor?" He said, "Oh, I preach for free. They pay me to put up with membership." Be that as it may, I don't know how much truth that is, but I want you to understand the passion. And I'm not just talking about my passion. There are a lot of good ministers in the world today who have a drive, a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ that God has placed there. And they would do it for nothing if that was so required of them. But what about verse 14? "Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." Now, here's where we're going to get sticky. That's right, we're going to talk about money a little bit. I want you to understand, as I preach this today, I feel very blessed as a pastor. I have no complaints on salary. I'm not preaching this because I'm trying to drum up a raise. It's not even time to consider budget matters and those things, all right? That's not what this is about. This is about the need to preach the Word of God. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and this is the next thing in our study. So that's why we're preaching that today. But be that as it may, you need to get this, because churches in times past have been notorious for not taking care of the ministers of the gospel. Okay? Now, Victory is really good to me. Victory is really good to our other staff members, and I love you and I appreciate you for that. But I want you to be diligent in the future that wherever God leads you, you look out for the men of God. Okay? Because the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And that word "live" is an interesting word. The Greek word is zoe. And it doesn't mean that you survive. It doesn't mean that you just barely get by, that hopefully bills will be paid. It's the same word that's used in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I'm come that they might have life and have life more abundantly." It's the same word. It's the same form of that word. Jesus didn't come that you might have getting by life, that maybe you might survive. He came to give you full life, abundant life. What am I saying? I'm saying that ministers of the gospel who pour their hearts, who pour their lives into ministry, should be looked out for by the churches of today. Okay? And not just pastors. I'm talking about associate pastors. I'm talking about ministers of music. I'm talking about missionaries. You know, we are starting a new mission work in Columbia, Missouri. Oh, I want you to understand our responsibility. We have a responsibility there to make sure that our missionary, Brother Ben's not worried about if his rent's going to be paid. He doesn't need to worry about if his light bill's going to be paid. He needs to worry about winning men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ. And so what is our job? Our job is to equip him and take care of him financially so he can do his job and do what God has called him to do, and that is preach the gospel. You see, that's Paul's point here. Paul was not a money man. I'm saying, to put it bluntly, don't ever be a skinflint with ministers of God. Don't ever be cheap with ministers of God. You know, you've often heard the statement, "You get what you pay for." We apply that to everything until we get to ministry, oftentimes. Okay? Never allow our missionaries, never allow our pastors to be threatened financially. And do not allow one or two, there's always one or two, who back up and say, "Well, I think we pay them too much." I cannot afford to live on what I'm worth. That was supposed to be funny. I cannot afford to live on what I'm worth. Most of us can't. But the reality is there's always somebody that wants to, you know, keep that tight rein. No. And when that time comes, you've not done your job if you just sit back and say, well, okay. You see, ministers and missionaries, they can't speak up for themselves. Why? Because they'd do it for nothing if that's what was God required of them. Do not allow anything except generosity toward ministers of the gospel. You see, Paul talked about that more. He said in verses 4 and 5, do we have no right? Do we have no right to eat and to drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife? Also, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas. Do we not have the right to be like others? Do we not have the right to have a family? You know, Paul's point there is that ministers have the same needs as everyone else. You realize that? I mean, ministers have to take care of their family. Missionaries have to take care of their families. They have to have a home. They have to have a car. They have to have everything that you have. Okay? Everything that you have. Make sure they have it. Paul raises three questions that are just, to me, outstanding. Okay? In verse 7, these questions are, whoever goes to war at his own expense? We'd say, who goes to war and pays for it himself? You know what I think should happen? I think that before a person can be in the military, that if the young man is going to be a pilot, you hear young men talk about, I want to fly jets. I think if a young man wants to fly jets in the United States Air Force, he should get a job, work, and save up his money until he can buy an F-16. And when he can pay $50 million for an F-16, he can buy it, and then he can go and be part of our military fighting force. That makes good sense, doesn't it? How about naval people? I think that before anybody joins the Navy, they need to get a job. They need to get a job, work, save their money until they can buy an aircraft carrier. And when they can buy an aircraft carrier, then let them join the Navy with their aircraft carrier that they have bought and go fight the wars. That sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Same concept that Paul is making here. On expectations of ministry. He said in the second part, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruits? How many of you would plant a garden and never pick a thing out of it? I'm just going to plant it and I'm just going to leave it out there for others to enjoy. Well, that's absolutely preposterous. And then he closes, or who tends a flock and does not drink the milk of the flock? You think the dairy farmer drinks the milk that he produces? Of course he does. And then in verse 11, he kind of answers that question. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? We would put it in our language, Paul saying, if we have served you and blessed you spiritually, is it too much to ask that you be a blessing to us ministers by your material things? What have we got to learn? We've got to learn to be generous. Generous toward ministers. Generous toward missionaries. Generous to those who dedicate their lives to the Lord's service. Because oftentimes needs are never addressed. You see, I know missionaries who wear out their cars doing deputation work. Driving all across this country. And those same missionaries that week after week live on the road and they get to a church to present the work. And, after the church service is over, they receive a $50 love offering for that fine young missionary. You see, that's sad. $50 won't even buy a tank of gas anymore. I know pastors who dedicate themselves, their life, to the ministry of the gospel, who traveled countless miles to visit hospitals and go to association meetings and go to mission meetings. And when they get to the end of their life, those churches haven't looked out for them. And they can't pay their electric bill. I've known youth ministers who would faithfully minister to children. Faithfully, every time one of those children would call, would go and counsel and lead and set an example to help those children through those trying teen years. All the while having trouble paying their own mortgage. I know preachers who travel all over for revival, never get enough to cover the cost of the gas. What am I saying? Brethren, these things ought not be so. Okay? Now I said, Victory has been real good with taking care of the church staff. That's not what this is about. But I want you to be diligent in the future, because I want you to understand, for ministry to happen, ministers have to be cared for. And that, my friend, is the responsibility of the Lord's church. I'm not talking about buying gold-plated chairs for them to sit in. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about being reasonable, right? But I want us to understand the need and our responsibility. I often find it interesting. You see, you can tell what's really important to people. I often find it interesting to watch as pastors dedicate a life of service. You know what I really... No, never mind. We won't even go there. Yes, we will. I always found it really interesting to watch as people would have weddings. And listen, I love to do weddings, and I would do them for nothing. But I always found it interesting that, because you do it for nothing, oftentimes they let you. And especially when it comes to a $10,000, $20,000 wedding. Thousands are spent on a wedding dress. Thousands are spent on decorations for the church. And you know, the man that performs the wedding, makes the marriage legal, does the marriage counseling, signs the marriage license, is often never compensated. And you know, that shows us, that reminds, that should remind all of us, we have a responsibility toward ministers of the gospel. Okay? Ministers should be as such that they are enabled by the church to do what God has called them to do without a fear of His needs not being met. We need to learn to be generous. Why? Because it's stated in Luke chapter 10, verse 7. You know what that says? The laborer is worthy of his wages. The laborer is worthy of his wages. How many here today have a job? Would you raise your hand? How many here today expect a paycheck from that job? It just makes sense. Amen? Now, it makes sense
for us to take care of the ministers of the gospel. Desire to see those ministers prosper. Desire to see the youth minister do well. Desire to see the music minister do well. Here's the challenge, okay? And here's the challenge. This message in a nutshell is this statement. It's the job of every minister to minister free of charge. It's your job to make sure that he does not. That's what Paul is saying. Okay? That's what Paul is saying. Now, as I said, Victory has been very good to me and has taken good care of me. This hadn't been one of those messages of, well, it's just not been pointed at all. Okay? But here's what I do know. We have new ministers coming behind me. We have missionaries coming behind me. And I've been in those, in my 25 years in ministry, I've been in those times when I didn't know if I was going to pay my electric bill. I've been in those times where I didn't know, you know, I needed a car but couldn't afford it. I've been in those times. And I would like to see a Christian community who were so desirous toward their ministers that even our young men who are coming up do not have to experience the same things that some of the older preachers have experienced in the past. Okay? That's the challenge of this message. I mean, we've got some fine young gentlemen coming up. Oh, Wade Ivy, man, I love to hear him preach. Trey, I love to hear him preach. And others, but I want to tell you, I want their life to be spent. I want it to be spent focusing on doing what God has called them to do. The challenge is, you make sure they don't have to do it for free. Now, let's get back to the good part. Let's talk about Jesus just for a moment, okay? Let's talk about the one that can change your life. The one that is the answer to whatever it is in this life that you're going through. Often I've heard, Brother Doug, you don't understand what I'm going through. You're right, I probably don't, but I know who does. Jesus Christ does. You see, we have not a high priest that cannot feel what we're going through. He was tempted in all points like as we are. That means he's felt it. Are you going through hardness? Jesus has gone through hardness. Are you going through pain? Jesus has gone through pain. Whatever it is that you're going through, Jesus knows. And Jesus is the answer. You see, Jesus gave his life upon Calvary. He died for you because you're a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God according to the Word of God. It's not like that's news to anyone. There's no one here that has not failed. But the glory is Jesus. You see, Jesus did what we could not do. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And then he went to the cross of Calvary and said, I love you so much that I'm willing to give my life so that you can live forever with me. Now my question is this. Have you made a life commitment to Jesus? Have you made a life commitment to Jesus? If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? There's one of two places. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And we're all going to spend eternity in one of those two places. I offer you this. The Bible says no man comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ the Son. Have you been through Jesus? If you'll call upon him today, you can know the joy of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you've backslid. You know, we all stumble from time to time. But I just want to remind you, Jesus is the answer. He did not leave you, you left him. And today he calls you back. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burdens light. Will you come to him? Whatever your spiritual need is today, you rest in the fact Jesus is the answer. And this invitation is for you to do business with Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We thank you, O Lord, for your goodness toward us. We thank you, O Lord, for paying our sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you that the call goes out to all, that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now, Lord, we come to the very serious time of service in which we have fellowship with you and commune with you and listen to your leading. And I pray right now you'll convict the sinners. Convict those who are out of your will. Convict those who are lost, so that right here, right now, today, they call upon you as the answer to their life. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.